Chapter 88. Total loss in killed and wounded for the 2 days. When they gave in, they were minus some 20% of combatants. There were 76 casualties. There were 30 men hurt or sick in the wagons. There were 27 killed on the spot or mortally wounded. Total, 133 out of the original 530. It is just 25%. However, I judge that the total was really 150, for the number of wounded carried to Kruger's Derp Hospital was 53, not 30, as Mr. Garrett reports it. The lady whose guest I was in Kruger Derp gave me the figures. She was head nurse from the beginning of hostilities, January 1, until the professional nurses arrived, January 8. Of the 53, 3 or 4 were Boers. I quote her words. This is a large improvement upon the precedents established at Bronkhorst, Ling's Neck, Ngogo, and Amajuba, and seems to indicate that Boer marksmanship is not so good now as it was in those days. But there is one detail in which the raid episode exactly repeats history. By surrender at Bronkhorst, the whole British force disappeared from the theater of war. This was the case with Jameson's force. In the Boer loss, also, historical precedent is followed with sufficient fidelity. In the four battles named above, the Boer loss, so far as known, was an average of 6 men per battle, to the British average loss of 175. In Jameson's battles, as per Boer official report, the Boer loss in killed was 4. 2 of these were killed by the Boers themselves, by accident, the other by Jameson's army, one of them intentionally, the other by a pathetic mischance. A young Boer named Jacobs was moving forward to give a drink to one of the wounded troopers, Jameson's, after the first charge, when another wounded man, mistaking his intention, shot him. There were 3 or 4 wounded Boers in the Kruger's Derp Hospital, and apparently no others have been reported. Mr. Garrett, on the balance of probabilities, fully accepts the official version, and thanks heaven the killed was not larger. As a military man, I wish to point out what seems to me to be military errors in the conduct of the campaign which we have just been considering. I have seen active service in the field, and it was in the actualities of war that I acquired my training and my right to speak. I served 2 weeks in the beginning of our civil war, and during all that time commanded a battery of infantry composed of 12 men. General Grant knew the history of my campaign, for I told it him. I also told him the principle upon which I had conducted it, which was to tire the enemy. I tired out and disqualified many battalions, yet never had a casualty myself, nor lost a man. General Grant was not given to paying compliments, yet he said frankly that, if I had conducted the whole war, much bloodshed would have been spared, and that what the army might have lost through the inspiriting results of collision in the field would have been amply made up by the liberalizing influences of travel. Further endorsement does not seem to me to be necessary. Let us now examine history and see what it teaches. In the 4 battles fought in 1881, and the 2 fought by Jameson, the British loss in killed, wounded, and prisoners was substantially 1,300 men. The Boer loss, as far as is ascertainable, here is about 30 men. These figures show that there was a defect somewhere. It was not in the absence of courage. I think it lay in the absence of discretion. The Briton should have done one thing or the other. Discarded British methods, and fought the Boer with Boer methods, or augmented his own force until using British methods it should be large enough to equalize results with the Boer. To retain the British method requires certain things, determinable by arithmetic. If, for argument's sake, we allow that the aggregate of 1,716 British soldiers engaged in the 4 early battles was opposed by the same aggregate of Boers, we have this result. The British loss of 700, and the Boer loss of 23 argues that in order to equalize results in future battles you must make the British force 30 times as strong as the Boer force. Mr. Garrett shows that the Boer force immediately opposed to Jameson was 2,000, and that there were 6,000 more on hand by the evening of the second day. Arithmetic shows that in order to make himself the equal of the 8,000 Boers, Jameson should have had 240,000 men, whereas he merely had 530 boys. From a military point of view, backed by the facts of history, I conceive that Jameson's military judgment was at fault. Another thing. Jameson was encumbered by artillery, ammunition, and rifles. The facts of the battle show that he should have had none of those things along. They were heavy, they were in his way, they impeded his march. There was nothing to shoot at, but rocks. He knew quite well that there would be nothing to shoot at, but rocks, and he knew that artillery and rifles have no effect upon rocks. He was badly overloaded with unessentials. He had 8 Maxims. A Maxim is a kind of Gatling, I believe, and shoots about 500 bullets per minute. He had 1 12-1 2-pounder cannon and 2 7-pounders. Also, 145,000 rounds of ammunition. He worked the Maxim so hard upon the rocks that 5 of them became disabled. 5 of the Maxims, not the rocks. It is believed that upwards of 100,000 rounds of ammunition of the various kinds were fired during the 21 hours that the battles lasted. One man killed. He must have been much mutilated. It was a pity to bring those futile Maxims along. Jameson should have furnished himself with a battery of Pudd'nhead Wilson Maxims instead. They are much more deadly than those others, and they are easily carried, because they have no weight. Mr. Garrett, not very carefully concealing a smile, excuses the presence of the Maxims by saying that they were of very substantial use, because their sputtering disordered the aim of the Boers, and in that way saved lives. 3 cannon, 8 Maxims, and 500 rifles yielded a result which emphasized a fact which had already been established, that the British system of standing out in the open to fight Boers who are behind rocks is not wise, not excusable, and ought to be abandoned for something more efficacious. For the purpose of war is to kill, not merely to waste ammunition. If I could get the management of one of those campaigns, I would know what to do, for I have studied the Boer. He values the Bible above every other thing. The most delicious edible in South Africa is Iltong. You will have seen it mentioned in Olive Schreiner's books. It is what our plainsmen call irk beef. It is the Boer's main standby. He has a passion for it, and he is right. If I had the command of the campaign, I would go with rifles only, no cumbersome Maxims and cannon to spoil good rocks with. I would move surreptitiously by night to a point about a quarter of a mile from the Boer camp, and there I would build up a pyramid of biltong and Bibles 50 feet high, and then conceal my men all about. In the morning the Boers would send out spies, and then the rest would come with a rush. I would surround them, and they would have to fight my men on equal terms, in the open. There wouldn't be any Amajuba results. Just as I am finishing this book, an unfortunate dispute has sprung up between Dr. Jameson and his officers, on the one hand, and Colonel Rhodes on the other, concerning the wording of a note which Colonel Rhodes sent from Johannesburg by a cyclist to Jameson just before hostilities began on the memorable New Year's Day. Some of the fragments of this note were found on the battlefield after the fight, and these have been pieced together. The dispute is as to what words the lacking fragments contained. Jameson says the note promised him a reinforcement of 300 men from Johannesburg. Colonel Rhodes denies this, and says he merely promised to send out, "Oh men, oh meet you." It seems a pity that these friends should fall out over so little a thing. If the 300 had been sent, what good would it have done? In 21 hours of industrious fighting, Jameson's 530 men, with 8 Maxims, 3 cannon, and 145,000 rounds of ammunition, killed an aggregate of 1 Boer. These statistics show that a reinforcement of 300 Johannesburgers, armed merely with muskets, would have killed, at the outside, only a little over a half of another Boer. This would not have saved the day. It would not even have seriously affected the general result. The figures show clearly, and with mathematical violence, that the only way to save Jameson, or even give him a fair and equal chance with the enemy, was for Johannesburg to send him 240 Maxims, 90 cannon, 600 carloads of ammunition, and 240,000 men. Johannesburg was not in a position to do this. Johannesburg has been called very hard names for not reinforcing Jameson. But in every instance this has been done by two classes of persons, people who do not read history, and people, like Jameson, who do not understand what it means, after they have read it. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.